Now, Britain's most notorious gangsters, the Cray Twins, well, the extent of their criminal activities has always been uncertain, but now it's time for the conclusive account of their story, from their East End beginnings to becoming the kingpins of London's underworld. Well, this objective account, compiled by best-selling crime author and criminal lawyer James Morton, cuts through the conflicting versions of their stories, and believe me, there are many of them, and answers burning questions still being asked 50 years after their infamous conviction. How was the clergy involved in evading police action? What was Charlie Cray's true position with his brothers? Just how many did they kill? It's my pleasure to welcome on the line from London. This is James Martin. James Morton. I beg your pardon. Good morning to you. This is a fascinating subject. There are so many books written about the Crays, and you've brought out what you call the final word. Tell us, what is so different?
Well, what I hope I've done is cut through so many of the personal accounts. You know, I spent a night in the cell with one of the Crays, which have been coming out over the years, had a look, as it were, independently, because I have no axe to grind one way or the other, as to what they really got up to, what they're suspected of, and what actually happened to them in prison and Broadmoor. Really, it's sort of from birth to death. It has never appeared, I don't think, in one single volume.
I mean, it is fascinating because, I mean, there are so many books that have been written about the Crays, the brothers, those involved with them. I mean, it's an industry in itself, isn't it, really?
Well, yes, I suppose I ought to confess I'm part of it, so I can't complain.
Absolutely not. And so what angle are you taking? Because obviously we hear, I mean, there's a lot of mythology, isn't there, involved in the Crays got up to?
Yes, there is. I mean, I rather take the view that they were pretty low-grade gangsters when it came to it. I don't think, for example, they would live with today's firms, which still exist in London, indeed every city, and I rather suspect have come down your way as well.
Do you think that they sort of like relished the attention, whereas today the criminal gangs want to be totally anonymous?
I think that was their downfall, that they would put their heads above the parapet. Yep. The best criminals are the ones you've never heard of.
Yep.
But Billy Hill, who was really their tutor and who ran crime in London, organised crime from the late 40s, he was still running bits and pieces until the 60s, but he was another who survived, actually, making a name for himself and appearing in the press, but the Crays hadn't got his ability, they hadn't got his intelligence, and they would sort of buy useless racehorses and auction them. They would promote themselves, whereas, as you say, a sensible criminal is never heard of.
I mean, I recently watched a documentary about Freddie Mills, the famous boxer from the 40s, and I always remember a picture that was taken of Freddie Mills with the Cray brothers, one either side of him, and the great smiles on their faces is so evident, and of course they showed this in this documentary, and they really did love the attention, didn't they?
Yes, they really loved the attention, and they loved being near celebrities.
Celebrity,
Freddie Mills,
yeah.
Joe Louis, the boxer came over, Judy Garland. They loved it. Mm-hmm. They loved having their photos taken. That was, as I say, their problem. They were just far too high profile. Instead of actually listening to what their advisors advised them about their misdeeds. For example, they had some very good fraudsmen working for them, who, if the fraudsmen had been allowed to continue, they would have made a lot of money. But what the Crays couldn't wait to do was to see the thing through. They had to have money as of this minute.
Right.
And that was another thing, that they hadn't the ability to look to the future.
They didn't reinvest their ill-gotten gains, in other words.
So, well, they did once or twice, but a long-term fraud, which is a signal whereby you buy goods on credit and then sell them off at a knockdown price, a really good long-term fraud, ends with a fire, so you get the insurance money as well. But the Krays hadn't the wit to see this.
Okay.
And eventually they turned against the man who was really their best fund-getter.
Isn't that strange?
And they had this nightclub, Esmeralda's Barn, which they just ran down.
Yes, yes. But it intrigues, I think, all of us when we think to ourselves, well, my goodness, we're always sort of hearing about what they got up to and those around them. I think, in fact, that a lot of the stories that we read have been written by third parties. And, of course, the thing is, it's like three and fourpence, isn't it? You know, that what starts out as possibly a truth ends up as a complete distortion of the facts when it reaches the printed page.
Absolutely. It's rather like that story of Chinese whispers when there was a fall on the, I think it was the Far Eastern stock market, because somebody said Lonnie Donegan had had a heart attack, and it came out as Ronald Reagan. Had a heart attack.
It's so easily done. I mean,
it is. and it is difficult to sort out what is the truth. And I hope I've managed most of it, but I mean, there's still an awful lot which people are still alive and will not, you know, their friends obviously will not say exactly what happened.
Yeah, this is the problem, isn't it? The difficulty with the research that you've had to have done to sort of create this book must have been sort of hit quite a few sort of brick walls, I would imagine.
Yes, I mean, fortunately, as more and more people die, it becomes more and more available, and so does the documents at the National Archives released more and more, so it becomes easier. 20 years ago, it would have been impossible to do this book.
Mm. So I've just noticed, actually, in the sleeve notes, that he actually mentions Freddie Mills. I didn't even see that part because I read another part. So he was quite close to them in that respect. Now, Mad Frank is the one we always sort of hear about, isn't it? Mad Frank and Sons is a very interesting, very good book. And I, in fact, read some of it, and it was fascinating. Do you think that a lot of that was all made up?
Well, I wrote Mad Frank's books. So, no.
I thought to myself, I know he wrote the book, but should I throw it at him and say, did you find those facts fascinating?
I didn't write Mad Frank's
sons. No, not the
but
sons.
I did the
yes.
Mad Frank and the other ones. I think he was more or less truthful when it came to it. There were one or two
Fantastic.
Things which I was never quite convinced about. Mm-hmm. But overall, I don't think he lied for lying's sake. He got such an adventurous life, he didn't actually need to.
No, quite. Yeah, that's why I sort of mentioned Mad Frank and Sons, because you weren't attached to that one directly, were you?
No, but, I mean, I obviously knew the boys, but
yes.
I mean, I think they rightly wanted a new generation person to write the book.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So the final word, do you think that you're going to sort of capture this with this title, or do you think there'll be more books coming along?
Oh, there'll be more books, you know. There's bound to be this one, I believe, coming out in next year or something about their relationship with Lord Boothby.
Good gracious.
Who was the Tory peer who got himself on the... really involved with Ronnie Cray.
Yes.
But I mean, I've covered that in the book anyway, so it'll be embroidery on that.
Well, I have to say that I know that my son-in-law is a keen reader of British gangster books, and of course the popularity of films made around the craze, and even the celebrities that have made the films obviously find the whole sort of era just a fascinating genre. It's a genre. It's almost an industry in itself, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't think we shall see another like it. I mean,
no.
There have been books recently on people who are alleged to be high in the London underworld, but I don't think we're ever going to see a torrent like the Krays. I think that one of the reasons is that they got such a long term in prison, and immediately after John Pearson wrote the book The Passion of Violence, mm-hmm. which was really the first of its kind, mm-hmm. and that started the Cray ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they were present at Her Majesty's pleasure for a long time. Therefore, there was obviously the opportunity to write about them and not have them come after you, I suppose.
I think that's right. I think they also liked the publicity because they thought that if there's enough people saying we ought to let them out, and that they would eventually. Ronnie, of course, never was going to because he was in Broadmoor. And in one way, it's really rather sad looking at Reggie Cray, who always believes he's coming out but will not cooperate with the authorities. And the less he cooperates, the more reason they think they have for keeping him in. He says, I won't see the prison psychiatrist. I've got to have one of my own. Things like that. If you're a sensible criminal, and Mad Frank certainly wasn't, you put your head down and you get on with your sentence.
Indeed.
And Reggie really couldn't do that.
So he was quite unable to sort of accept that he didn't have any power really anymore. He felt as though he still had power, didn't he?
I think that's right. He still had to be Reggie Cray.
Yeah.
It's the real problem. And, of course, the end of the book, I think I've put in a list of things he had to do before they would let him have another run at parole. And, I mean, this was a sort of tortuous sort of exercise of anger management, cultural management, this, that and the other. And there were 8 or 9 courses he had to go on before they would, as it were, talk to him again.
Well, I think it's a fascinating story of violence of that age, which continues to fascinate. I think that's how we can sort of phrase it. Wouldn't you agree? The final
absolutely, it continues to fascinate.
The final word then for James Morton, the craze, the final word. You can find out more about it. You can actually obviously obtain it through the usual sort of sources. Go to our book tab at tre.radio and also through the book sites Amazon and so on. And James, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really fascinated by all of the accounts of the craze. I haven't read that many of them, but I will certainly sort of make an effort to take a good look at yours. Thank you much indeed for joining us on the program.
Well, many thanks for inviting me.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.